Welcome to Friday evening here on Dumb City FM with me, Breffni Early, for the next half hour. My guest in the sporting spotlight is Laura Reynolds, Olympic race walker. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, Breffni. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. Delighted to have you as ever. Laura, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in sport. First of all, where are you from? You're from Leitrim, I understand, and no more than myself.
Yeah, fellow Leitrim person. I'm from a little place called Eslin in Leitrim. So I would have started athletics probably at about 10 or 11. I would have played football first, kind of. I was big into Gaelic football for a long time, so I started playing that first, kind of, when I was about 6 or 7. And then would have done, kind of got into athletics later on in primary school, and I was into a lot of different sports, so kind of up to like 16, then I kind of just specialised in athletics then.
Well, let's talk about when you started off, I suppose, 6 or 7, you started playing Gaelic football. Am I right in saying there's not a whole lot of choice from a sporting point of view, at least not back then? There might be a bit more now, but in rural Ireland, it was Gaelic football and maybe a little bit of athletics, which obviously you ventured into, but Gaelic football dominates pretty much in rural Ireland, right?
It does, especially in Leitrim, but yeah, Gaelic football, athletics, a bit of basketball, that's what I was involved in. But, I mean, I loved Gaelic football anyway, so it was I didn't mind, like.
Okay, and where did you play, or what position on the field? Were you one of the stronger players on the team?
No, I was now a small player. I would have played forward, full forward.
And just sticking over the scores where you could?
Yeah.
Moving on, you started athletics pretty seriously maybe later on in primary school when you started hitting double figures, 10 or 11 with primary schools. And was it always walking that was top of your list, or did you dabble in maybe sprinting or middle distance running at any stage?
I did a bit of everything, middle distance mostly and walking. I wasn't great at sprinting, so, you know, we're kind of encouraged to do everything. In Leitrim, they kind of have primary schools competition, so in the winter they have cross country and walks, and so we would have started off doing that initially. It's like a school's kind of team competition, so that's how I would have started off first. But I did, you know, both the running and the walking. I liked running equally, so it wasn't until later that I kind of was probably got better at the walking and decided, you know, this is what I wanted to do.
Walking isn't one of the sports that people think of. Even if you're involved in athletics, walking tends to be kind of one of the sports that people don't really think about until they see it kind of hit them in the face. They're looking at the sprinting and the middle distance running, and growing up looking at athletes like, say, Sonia O'Sullivan, for example, you kind of would expect them to be your idols. Why race walking, though?
Why race walking for me, is
yeah.
it? I'm not sure. It's probably just what I was better at, and I mean, that's what I came to like more, and I was more successful in that. And I mean, Ireland have, you know, a good history in race walking. I mean, our last 3 medals at the World Championships have been won in the walking event, so we are quite good at it. And it is promoted, like, even in Leitrim, like, it's at every kind of athletics competition, so you get the chance to try it out, and then a community games as well, so.
Community games is a lot to answer for in a positive way for the development of athletics, particularly in the younger age groups. Race walking, was it 10 or 11 years of age, community games, would that have been the first major national competitive event you took part in?
Yeah, it would have been. It was under 13 back then. So, yeah, that was, it was a big thing, like, for me to kind of qualify back then when you think about it, you know, going to Mosny, the whole kind of thing of going away. So, yeah, and I won there, so that was my kind of first success, especially in walking.
Can you explain to me, because this always bothered me, now people from outside Leitrim won't get this, but the Leitrim colours are green and gold, but every year when they went to Mosny, the tracksuits were black and white.
Black and gold.
Oh, was it black and gold? Why?
I actually don't know.
Did you never ask the question?
No, never thought of asking that. Yeah, I'm not sure why, like, it was kind of strange, all right.
Even up to, I was actually at the community games 2 years ago, and they're still black and gold. I don't know if they're the same tracksuits. That I can't confirm or deny that. I know they give them out and take them back, but it'd be a bit disgusting if they're still the same tracksuits a decade later.
I don't think they're the same now. But yeah, black and gold, I'm not sure now. I think the things were changed, were green and gold. I think the new ones are.
Okay, well, maybe. Hopefully. Let's press on a little bit further down the line, and the first time you really made a breakthrough at the World Youths was 2005. tell us a little bit about the whole kind of step up to that level from taking part in, say, the community games type stuff and through the early years in school.
So, yeah, that was in the first year that I qualified for kind of a big athletics competition. So that was 2005. That winter, I'd only given up football and playing basketball and all that, and that was quite a big thing for me. So I kind of concentrated only on training for that. And in May, I went to another competition. It was the European Cup race walking first. And then later on the summer, I qualified for the World Youths. So there were only like four of us on the team at the time. So like it was in Morocco. Like that was a huge deal for me to go there. I was only 16. I was kind of a year out of my age group as well. So I came 15th there, like, and it was 37 degrees. So, you know, I was delighted and, you know, everything had paid off and, you know, giving up all the other sports. So I was kind of like, yeah, I'll definitely stick with this now.
How big a decision was that to give up the other sports? Because that can be fairly traumatic for a child when they're playing a load of different sports and 15, 16 years of age, you're quite impressionable and you want to stay friendly with your mates and you want to be in there. And particularly in a place like Mull in Leitrim where if you don't play Gaelic football, you could be the difference between actually having a team and not having a team. What kind of pressures were on you there to stay involved in those sports, but be it basketball or Gaelic football?
It is. It's a big thing, you know, yourself, refereeing Gaelic football in Leitrim.
People outside Leitrim probably don't get it, but it actually is huge at home.
It is. Look, it was a big decision, and, you know, some people mightn't agree with it and everything else, but...
Was it a decision you made on your own, or who did you talk to? Did you talk to maybe your parents, the GA club itself, the basketball club, or was it a decision that you made for yourself?
I would have spoke to them all, but, like, I mean, at that stage, you know, I couldn't keep training with them all. I was training with how many different Gaelic football teams, you know, under 16, minor, senior, and then school teams. You know, it just wasn't kind of feasible to keep going with every sport. It was too much, like... At the same time as well, you know, I kind of was good at athletics, so I wanted to follow that through, and, I mean, that was my choice. It was kind of my favourite sport. That's what I wanted to do, so it was just kind of my choice in the end.
Okay, so you're selected to go to Morocco. We know you finished 15th, but the actual trip, how did that trip pan out for you?
It was good. It was a new experience. Like, it was very, very warm. There was four of us on the team at the time. I think it was Bernie Alcorn was managing us, and so it was myself, Kieran O'Leonard, Dave McCarthy, and Kelly Prober. So it was a big deal going away to kind of Morocco for a week, you know, and you're 16 and kind of never been at an international competition before. It was completely new, but, you know, it was a great experience, and it was kind of a good competition to start off at, and, you know, to see what that kind of international competition is like.
Fast forward 2 years and you're selected to go to the World Juniors, which is, of course, the under-20 age bracket. Again, is that just a natural progression from the under-18s 2 years previous?
Yeah, I went to the World Juniors then. So, yeah, look, I kind of progressed to each kind of competition. I went to World Juniors, I went to European under-23s, World Students, and then, you know, I went up kind of to the Olympic level.
Okay, but I'm quite interested, without jumping too far forward to the Olympics, in terms of the progression, obviously, you go from 16, 15th at the World Youth Championships. I presume your leaving cert would have fallen around about 2007, 2008?
2007, yeah.
So that collided with the World Youth, or the World Junior Championships that same year.
No, it actually wasn't the same year. It was the first year in college I made World Juniors.
Okay, so obviously you went to DCU, so DCU is fairly well established as one of the best places to go from an athletics point of view. Obviously, the program there with Enda Fitzpatrick's program and some of the athletes that have come through that and gone on to Olympic Games, the likes of Linda Byrne, Fionnuala Britton, yourself, amongst other sports as well, the likes of Darren Sutherland and Kira Pilo also came through in the last two Olympiads. But so DCU is a pretty good place to be for an elite athlete. How did you find that jump from, say, Eslin, Mohill, local athletics club, moving up to DCU, and did it change much in terms of your preparation for events, or had you a pretty professional setup before that already?
Well, it was a big change, obviously, coming, you know, moving from Leitrim to Dublin, but, I mean, I really liked DCU, you know, the setup they have where kind of all the athletes were living together. And yeah, it was a big change, you know, moving away from home and all that. But I went on sports scholarship there, and I mean, I was doing PE teaching and biology. So look, I mean, all the athletes there, and I mean, friends in my course as well. So you kind of, you just get used to it, and you start training, and you're going to make friends up there anyways. So you just, you kind of make the adjustment.
You must have known some of the people you were going to be sharing accommodation with from just the athletic circuit though itself.
I've known a few now, but not that many, to be honest. So it was a big jump, and there wasn't now people from Leitrim or my class wouldn't have went to Dublin to college. Most of them would have went to Galway, so it was a big change, like, in that respect.
Really? Because when I came to college, I went to DCU as well. When I started college, there were 7 people in my class from Leitrim.
Was there?
Yeah, no, that's, it was a pretty big class, but still, 7 people is pretty huge from such a small part of the world. But we're very well represented, particularly around the fields at DCU. So you must have got very familiar with the DCU sports grounds and getting kind of, was that where you did your training, or would you go up to a Santry Stadium?
I would have trained a lot on campus. There's a park on campus there, Albert College, and up to Santry Stadium as well. So it is, it's a good setup in DCU. I mean, there are plenty of places to train, and then the DCU gym there, like, I still train around there in that park and in the gym all the time, so it's a great setup. Like,
old habits die hard. Even Laura, we're going to take a quick musical break. You've picked a song for us, I think, Eagle Eye Cherry. Sorry, we're going to play that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll chat about the Olympics and the World Championships this year after that. And that was Saved Tonight there from Eagle Eye Cherry. Any particular reason why you picked that song, Laura?
I actually don't have a reason. No, sorry.
You just like it.
Top of my head, yeah.
That's allowed. We encourage decent music on the show. We want to talk about the more recent years of your career, and particularly we're going to talk about the Olympics in just a few minutes. But the first, I suppose, major competition, which is kind of, anyway, in my opinion, I've been to 2 of them in 07 and 09, is the World University Games, and it's kind of the one place where people get to put their foot on the ladder and say, okay, I've actually arrived now. It's a big competition. The likes of Sonia O'Sullivan, Dervla O'Rourke, Ailish McSweeney, Eileen O'Keefe have all won medals at this level in the past, Paul Hessian as well. You made your breakthrough to that level at in 2011 with the Games in Shenzhen, and you pretty made a good statement of your arrival on the scene with a 12th place finish. How was that competition for you?
That year I turned 21, and kind of I started racing in March, and my first race I had a big PB, and I got the kind of World Olympic B standard. So I kind of made a big breakthrough that year, and you know, I was delighted with that. So on to that summer then, and it was the World Students in China. So yeah, we had a great experience in China. You know, it's a big competition. It's, you know, it's another level again from kind of juniors. So I mean, I came 12th there, but it was kind of another experience again, getting that experience of world class competition, but at the same time not been kind of at the level of world championships as well.
That led you nicely into the following summer, which I think for anybody competing in most sports at an international level, the Olympics is the pinnacle of everything they can achieve. You achieve that dream at the, I suppose, the tender age of 23. It must be nice to be able to say, Laura Reynolds, Olympian.
It is. Well, I mean, it's always something I've dreamed about, and I mean, my own coach, Colin Griffin, like, he's another Leitrim Olympian, and you know, there's not too many people in Leitrim. I think I'm the 4th Leitrim Olympian. So it was kind of a dream come true for me, and to do it so young at 23 as well. I mean, I just had finished college that summer in DCU. I did PE teaching biology, and DCU were kind of good enough to let me do my final year over 2 years. So I was just finished, and I qualified in June, I think it was probably the the last or second last opportunity to get the time anyway. So I got the time anyways in June and then raced in the Olympics in, it's the beginning of August, I think. So, you know, it was a great year for me. Like, it was a big, big breakthrough year, and I was absolutely delighted with it.
In terms of the qualification, at what point was London 2012 a realistic goal for you? Was that something you said maybe when you were back at the 05 youths going, okay, 2020 is going to be my year, or 2012 is going to be my year, or was it something that only became reality much closer to the event?
It only really came a reality, yeah, in 2012, and even throughout the year, like, I had a lot of ups and downs, and, look, I was away even in February of that year, altitude training, and I had to come home at the end of February after a week. I got very sick out there, bad chest infection, and kind of put my whole season, it kind of delayed the whole season, and I wasn't even sure then, like, what, you know, when I'd be back racing. So I started racing in April, and I was still behind, you know, where I hoped to qualify at that stage. But I kept kind of trucking on anyways, and kept racing, and, you know, it just came together kind of then in the summer. I had enough training behind me and enough kind of race experience that, you know, I qualified at, I think, nearly a minute inside the A standard. So it just, I mean, I think sometimes you kind of forget about times and standards and just go out and race that, you know, cause sometimes times can be a bit of a monkey on your back. And I got into a good race there in La Coruña. It was the IAAF challenge race, and just went out, I think I came seventh, just went out and raced, like, and was very good quality competition, and
The actual Olympics itself, as much as the event is the important reason you're there, I presume the whole ceremony around the Olympics, the village, the other events that are going on, the other athletes from other sports that you probably never met before, having the likes of some of the professional footballers or the tennis players floating around the village and bumping into them, how much of a distraction is that from actually what you're there to do and compete?
Well, we weren't in the village that long now. I was only in there, I think we came in 2 days before my race, so, and I was on second last day, so I was only probably in there about 4 or 5 days in total. So we were kind of out in a holding camp out in Lensbury, and I thought that was a very good idea because it was a good environment, a good training environment, and you didn't have any of those distractions. So, I mean, then we didn't have that long in the village when we were there. So,
who did you meet though when you were in there? Because I'm pretty sure you couldn't walk around without meeting some people.
No,
you didn't do a Paddy Barnes going around taking pictures of people, no?
No, I didn't do that. No.
Roger Federer,
yeah,
Nadal.
Yeah, just Mo Farah, and you'd be kind of list them off all day, wouldn't you be? Like,
you don't like name dropping. I like it. But obviously they're all delighted to get their picture taken with Laura Reynolds as well, of course.
I'm sure they were.
The World Championships this year, Laura, obviously with the performance, actually before we go on to that, the actual race itself last year in London, obviously you raced towards the end of the week. Rob Heffernan had done fantastic work the previous weekend, I think, or was it the previous day, I can't remember now off the top of my head, and finishing fourth with an unbelievable PB on the same course. How much was that in your mind as you went out onto the track the following day? Because obviously you set a pretty big PB that day as well.
Yeah, the 50K was on the morning before the 20-hour race, so that obviously was a huge, you know, that was a huge performance by him, and it was a huge lift for everyone in the athletics camp especially. So, I mean, it's great to see, you know, the Irish mixing it up at the very top. So, I mean, this performance like that, it's, you know, it's nothing but motivation for us. So just kind of went out then that afternoon.
Obviously, Colin Griffin, you mentioned, is your coach. He had a very disappointing day in the 50K the previous day. So you had both ends of the spectrum, the elation from Rob's camp and the disappointment in Colin's disqualification. Did either of those affect you, or were you there very focused on what you had to do?
Well, obviously, like, I was with Olive Lachnan, so we did, we watched some of the race, and we watched, I think, most of it from the apartment now. But, like, I mean, you do, you kind of, you have to take the positives out of things. You, when you're, like, when you're racing that day, you kind of have to take the positives out of what you see and not kind of let any negatives come in. But, I mean, look, it was a good performance by the Irish. I mean, it was very important, or it was very disappointing for Colin, but, I mean, you know, he's very professional in what he does. He doesn't, you know, let anything like that impinge on me. So, you know, no, it didn't have any influence on me. Like,
okay, this summer, return to the World University Games, improved your performance from 12th to 6th. You must have been absolutely delighted finishing that race.
I was, like, it was a very kind of high quality race. It was four Russians in it. I mean, the girl who won it, she came second then in the World Championships. So it was a very kind of high quality race. I ended up getting sick the day before. It just came down with a head cold, so I was kind of a little bit disappointed. I had hoped to do a little bit better, but at the same time, it was a tough course. Tough competition. I mean, I couldn't have done any better on the day. Like, it was a very good performance at the same time.
That was in Kazan in Russia, and you were back in Russia 5 or 6 weeks later for the World Championships in Moscow. Not a great day by your own high standards, Laura.
No, it wasn't. But, like, I mean, after the World Students, so I was sick for a few weeks, and so my preparation wasn't ideal, and I already kind of had missed a lot of time in the winter due to injury, but look, I went out there. It was 8 seconds off a season's best. I mean, kind of did the best of what I had on the day, and you know, I still had the kind of the performance of the World Students Games anyway. And I mean, you do the best of what you kind of have done all winter and all season. And
what's next for you, Laura? What does the future hold? Obviously, Rio must be central to your plans for the next couple of years.
Yeah, it is. It's next year. It's Europeans in Zurich, and then yes, that's the main kind of focus. And we have the World Cup in May. Before that, that's out in China. So they're the kind of two main focuses first for 2014, anyway.
Okay, well, listen, Laura, as ever, I'm delighted to have you on the show, but particularly because you've got the Leitrim connection as well. I'm not going to lie. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck for the next couple of years as you gear up towards Rio and all that is on the road to Rio over the next 3 years. We do let the guest, you got the bonus today, you got to pick two songs. We do let the guest pick the song that closes the show. What have you picked for us?
I've picked Stereophonics, Indian Summer.
Okay, and any particular reason for this one?
No, I'm so sorry. I have no reason for any of the songs.
No, it's fine. If it's just a good song, that works for us as well. Listen, Laura Reynolds, Olympic race walker, has been my guest in the Sporting Spotlight this week. Don't forget, you can listen back to all the shows in the series on www.sportingspotlight.com. You've been listening to me, Breffni Early, speaking to Laura Reynolds, and the song she has picked to close the show today is Stereophonics and Indian Summer. We'll be back again next week.